Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
From Orange County.
I had no idea that was your husband.
To New Jersey.
I never expected this.
Step it up.
Get behind the scenes and relive the drama.
Don't talk to him. He's a little twerk.
All of this is unimportant to me.
With exclusive interviews and celebrity guests.
Let me tell you something right now.
This is Getting Real with the Housewives.
Hey guys, welcome to Getting Real with the Housewives, a Housewives podcast from right here at Us Weekly, where we break down all your latest Housewives news, give you exclusive interviews with your favorite ladies, and dish the dirt on all things Real Housewives related. I'm your host, Christina Garibaldi. This week, we sit down with former Real Housewives of OC star Lydia McLaughlin, who reveals that some of her castmates were even meaner when the cameras were off, who she still keeps in touch with, and if she would ever make a return to the show. I mean, what has this past year been like for you and your household?
Well, I have three kids, and they are from middle school to kindergarten. So last year, when everyone went to virtual learning, that was really tough because I had a TK-er, and I feel like that is definitely a hands-on type of grade level. So that was a little bit frustrating for me. I literally was Googling, like, I don't know, all different things. Like, I was convinced he just had all sorts of learning disorders and things like that. Cause I was just like, is this normal? I don't know. Like, we're saying B 10,000 times. And then, you know, my second grader needed my help. So it's definitely a transition, but we were really, really blessed. Our kids go to a private Christian school. So this school year, they have been in person all year. And they actually are not wearing masks, and none of us have gotten sick. And I've been a little bit vocal on my Instagram, just how I feel about masks and vaccines and the mandates for those and how against that I am. So I've definitely taken a little bit of hits for that. But I think it's important in this time to speak out for what you believe to be true and not just be pushing an agenda because that's what everybody says. Mm-hmm. And to do your own research and do what you feel comfortable with for your family. That's why America is so beautiful, is that everybody gets the freedom to do what they believe is right for their own kids. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I've been involved with that, I guess, a little bit. But I mean, like everybody, it's been such an adjustment, and I'm really been proud of my family. I have my mom and my dad live right down the road from us, and we've never stopped seeing them. And I'm actually from Canada. Mm-hmm. And so that's been really hard. My grandma got actually the vaccine, and then she ended up getting a seizure. Mm-hmm. And so we're not allowed to visit her. You have to quarantine for 2 weeks if you go to Canada. And before that, you have to take a COVID test, and then you have to incubate in a government hotel for a couple days. So Canada is on another level, and I haven't been able to go there to visit my grandma and see her. So, I mean, everyone's been affected in different ways, and I think we need to have a little bit of compassion, you know, for each other. Everyone is really acting out of a place, hopefully, of love. That's like the goal. And sometimes I think when everyone's stuck home and just on social media, that cannot be the greatest ingredients, right?
Totally.
So I've been trying to be like full of love and spread love and joy and a little bit of truth if I can.
Totally. I'm sorry about your grandma. I hope she's okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I just hope I get to see her, you know, and my kids get to see her. So that's been, we go to Canada usually once or twice. I usually go to twice a year and I haven't been able to go. So that's just been really hard. It's hard on my heart, but I know everybody's affected in different ways. So I had actually a friend of mine committed suicide. Sorry, this is like really heavy for ethically. But I mean, that's what's happening in the world right now. So a lot, you know, I don't know anyone who has died of COVID. I've known people died of the opposite, like effects of having to stay at home and what that does for our mental health and what the vaccine has done to a family member of mine. So that like explains my point of view. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we respect where everybody's coming from and just try to like, come from a place of love. I think that that's the goal, right?
Yeah. I mean, did the social media comments bother you?
I wouldn't say they bother me. I just think it was really interesting to me to see the amount of attack. And then also I lost like Instagram deals because of it. So I have some paid sponsorships that some of the bigger corporations would pull out from those sponsorships if I were to be vocal. I also was offered from the government to post like a stay at home. So they were at the beginning, you know, you saw a lot of celebrities doing hashtag stay at home, right, which I thought was really interesting because like they were getting paid to do that from the government. So I don't know. It's just, I think the more that you speak out, the more you see like, wow, there's really an agenda that's being pushed here. And maybe it's for health and for everyone. I'm not saying that, but I'm just questioning, I don't know, like if you kind of step out of line, everyone attacks you for that. And that is a scary place to be.
Yeah, definitely. How has this time tested your relationship with Doug, or has it not? Has it brought you guys closer together?
Well, I don't know if you know my husband, but he's like super good looking and he likes to be without his shirt on. So he's always not wearing a shirt and he works out at home. So I'm enjoying those benefits. We normally work together and we're together a lot. We really are best friends. So that has been not an adjustment being around each other and working because that's really the way our relationship's always been built. Mm-hmm. But it definitely was hard. Part of our, I have a magazine with my husband. And so part of that is getting to travel and also getting to experience like so many different beautiful events. That's really part of our job is to put on exclusive like dinner parties. And that's a big part of our life. And so all of that was taken away. And obviously just the stress of being employing a team of people and that, you know, all of a sudden with a magazine, where do we put the magazine? We put it in airports and on airplanes and in hotels and all of those places were shut down. So our magazine didn't print. So it was a little bit owning a magazine and owning a business. It was a little bit unknown of when that would come back. And I remember going for a hike with him and just kind of, you know, dreaming of all of these things that we were going to do. And those were all pulled out from under us. And how do we kind of shift now and what, you know, trust the Lord that he's going to provide for everyone. And, mm-hmm. and how can we be good stewards in this situation and this time? And like trusting that we were built for this moment and knowing like we were put here, our kids were put here in this moment in history for this reason, and we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we've really, it's been tough. It's been tough for everyone, but we've really seen the joy and kind of in a lot of different ways pivoted. And I think that is like why people live to be really long. You know, they have different studies of why people live to be really long. And one of them is that they're able to like, you know, flow and shift. And so that's a good quality. So that's that quality out in all of us.
Definitely. With us, with your husband spending so much time shirtless throughout the house, have you guys thought about maybe having another baby then?
He did get a vasectomy on public national television. So that ship has sailed, which is good. We did have like the full on sex talk with my kids. I think that that is important because that was something my son missed. Fifth grade got shut down and they didn't do the sex talk on the Zoom call. Thank goodness. That would have been awkward. So we felt like we had to do that with him, which was a memory I'll never forget. But I think it's important. There's some really good books out there. Kids know so much that you really want to stay, you know, in front of it, I think. I just had my 15th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. Yes. Wow, that's beautiful.
I also turned 40, so it was like a double whammer.
How do you feel about turning 40? And then what, actually go back, were you nervous having that sex talk with your son?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no one wants to do that. It actually kind of naturally happened, but we were prepared. But I'm not kidding. My husband and I had like sangria and we were like having, we like, woo! And then we go in to put the kids to bed and my oldest son just started asking all these questions. And, you know, you don't know when the time, it just, and I felt like it was the God parting the Red Sea, because we have this big bookshelf in their room and it's just filled with thousands, you know, all these books that, yeah, not thousands, but it's a lot, like a, probably, I don't know, a lot of books. And all of a sudden Doug's like looking, because one of the books is the sex book that you just buy and put it on the bookshelf and hope you never need. And he was like, and then he like sees it, he pulls it out. He's like, okay, here we go. Let's read this book together. And I'll never forget my son's face, like when he turns the page and it's literally, because it says, you know, what sex is and penis in the vagina, and my husband, my little like boy's eyes, and I was like, yep, this is happening. We were like so sober within 2 seconds.
That's amazing.
Okay, this night is not going the way we thought it would.
Yeah, seriously. How do you feel about turning 40?
I love it. I honestly feel really good about it. I know that age is just a number. I have a lot of good role models in my life of older, wiser women. Mm-hmm. My mom is in her 70s and she's like such a hot mama. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I know it's so cliche, but I've never felt more comfortable in my skin. I feel like I've really done the work in my 20s and 30s. So 40 is like my favorite ever.
I really
believe that. I don't know. It's weird because I can tell I'm getting older. Like I have grayer hairs and whatever. I'm getting older, but it's almost like I earned it. And I feel like the fact that I don't care makes it that much better.
I don't know. That's great. I love that.
I'm actually trying this new thing where I'm trying not to use a filter as much. And it is hard, like in your stories, because you can just put a filter on and you look, some of them you look like an alien, but some of them you look like you are a supermodel. And then you can put that down and look in the mirror and be like, oh my gosh, I thought I was having a good day and this is not what I just posted. So I felt like it was so damaging, you know, when I see other people that I follow and then when you see them in real life and you're like, you don't look like that in real life. I'd never want someone to say that about me. I have pores and I have, you know, brown spots and that's okay. Like, well, who am I trying to prove? My husband knows those things about me. Why do I care what Sally thinks and Miss Con, I don't know, wherever.
No, totally. I totally agree with you. I love that.
It's hard though. I challenge you to try to
do it. It is hard. No, yeah. It is hard because you see all of your imperfections. You really do. It's definitely difficult. Yeah. You know, back when you left the OC, you know, a few years ago, you said that it put a lot of stress on your family. You know, what kind of stress did that have on your marriage? And do you believe that the reality show divorce curse is real?
Oh, what's the reality show divorce court?
Like just like a lot of couples that go on reality TV end up, you know, getting divorced or splitting up. Obviously you and Doug didn't, you guys survived that. But do you think that like you can see why marriages end after this show?
Oh, I definitely feel yes. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that it's a curse. I just think when you take anything and put it in a stressful situation, like I would describe it that my life, when you're on a reality show, at least from my experience from filming with Real Housewives, you're stressed out. You all day long you have so many different thoughts going back as a woman, like, how am I looking today? Now what did I say? Did I sound like an idiot? What does this person think of me? There's the drama of the people, the drama of the direct, like the producers. There's so many different dramas that when you come home, you're operating already on a 10 that you have nothing left to give really. Mm. Like you don't have all this energy to give into your marriage or your role as a wife or mother, daughter, friend. Like a lot of those relationships in your life really get put on the back burner because the show comes in like a train and just takes over your life. And I think it can bring out the worst in people. Mm. It just can. And so I didn't really love who I was a lot of times. Like my priorities and things just wasn't who I really am in my core. It just starts to shift you. Mm-hmm. And so I can see how that can tear up families and marriages for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Is that maybe one of the reasons why you decided to take a step back, is because maybe you saw a change in yourself that you didn't really like?
So I did the show twice and I walked away mm-hmm. twice. And the first time, yes. So the first time I felt really called to do the show. I'm a Christian woman and I felt like I could put that on display and show my Bible studies and show like a different kind of point of view. That was really my intention when I did it the first season. And so for the second, when I got asked back to do season 9, my intention had shifted and I loved being recognized. Mm-hmm. I all of a sudden didn't want to go to anywhere without like having hair and makeup done because people would post that photo. Mm-hmm. So who I was, I started seeing shift. So I knew even though I wanted to do it again, it was for the wrong reasons and I had to walk away. The second time when I decided to walk away was more because of my relationships with the cast members. Mm-hmm. I felt like if I did another season, I would have been the target and I would have been who everyone would be attacking. And I just wasn't up for that. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah. Was it hard for you to make that decision?
Yeah, it was easier the second time.
Yeah.
But both times it was really hard. I think a lot of people in the world have to make hard decisions if it's like a job or a relationship that they know they're not supposed to be in. Like everyone has inside of them, like, you know what you're supposed to do and it's just hard sometimes. But I feel like if we take that step, you really get rewarded. Mm-hmm. And I would say my life right now is so flourishing in different ways that I've really been blessed for being faithful.
Right. Yeah, I know that you still have a great relationship with Bravo. You had the show with your mom that you guys recently did. I mean, have they asked you back to do another season of Housewives?
No, I haven't been. When I left with the producers, it was definitely like they understood my point of view. And mm-hmm. I told them that I loved aspects of reality TV, which was why Glitter Town was such a great fit. Mm-hmm. Just my mom and I getting to be silly and goofy together. So I also love working with Doug. And so perhaps there's an opportunity to do something down the road with Nobleman and a magazine type of show. So that's definitely something that we're interested in pursuing.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's a great fit. I don't think I make a great housewife. I'm too nice. I'm affected too much. I think I'm an empath. And taking all that on, like honestly, it made my soul like nervous.
Totally.
I just want people to get along. I don't know. And it brought out the worst in me because I am very much like an Italian. I was embarrassed of some of the things I did the last season I was on. So I think I'm just better.
Yeah. What were some of those things that embarrassed you that like you wish you could take back?
I feel like if I could do it again, my relationship with Shannon, I just felt like I really didn't watch the season before I was on. So I didn't understand a lot of the dynamics that were going on. Mm-hmm. And I think if I had, we would have gotten along better off the bat. I just didn't understand her.
Yeah. You know, I recently spoke to Gretchen, who I know is a friend of yours. And she said, you know, that she felt this past season of OC, I don't know if you watched, but she said it didn't really feel relatable. Like she couldn't really like connect with any of the women. Did you feel that as well?
I honestly did not watch. Yeah. I haven't watched one scene since I left. I'm so obnoxious. I'm like, I'm not on that show. I don't need the drama. But I feel like I don't understand the casting producers. Like I know when I was on the show, I was talking about being back again, I gave them like so many of my friends that I think would be amazing cast mm-hmm. members and that I have a real friendship with and that I thought would be really interesting. So I just don't understand what the cast producers are looking for. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of really amazing, fabulous women in Orange County that I feel aren't represented, you know?
Yeah, so, no, totally.
So I hope that they shake it up and that they, you know, I think that they need something good, but mm-hmm. yeah. Well, who are your favorites?
I mean, from last season, I mean, it was hard because, I mean, even Andy said that he, you know, OC kind of needed a reboot, I think. And I feel like, you know, I kind of agreed with Gretchen. A lot of the storylines were a little, you know, kind of out there. I do like Gina. She's kind of fun. You know, Kelly always brings drama. Shannon always brings dramas, but it felt like there was a little bit of a disconnect.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree with that, but I've never watched an episode. But I just think that, like, if they weren't on the show, I don't think that they would be friends.
Right.
So that's hard, you know, and I think that viewers can tell that. Like, I love watching Beverly Hills Kyle, because she's the same on camera and off camera. And I don't know, I think the people that resonate the most are the ones that are consistent, and the viewers can tell that. And I don't know that those women are actually friends. And that's, I think, actually at the core of Housewives, is that it started where it was like women that were friends, but then there's also these dramas. Mm-hmm. Whereas once you're off the show, I will say I'm friends with Peggy, but the girls that I filmed with, I've never spoken to again.
So once you were done, filming, you never spoke to, you know, Shannon, Tamara, any of them ever again?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
So, that's a problem. You know, that's like a real, I'd say I was friends with Peggy. And then when I was on the show, I'm friends with Gretchen. Mm-hmm. I'm friends with Emily. Like, some of us that aren't on it became friends.
That's so
because it's like a sorority.
Right.
But yeah, I would say that would be what I think is the problem with OC. Like, you know, Tamara, once she left, she doesn't talk to Shannon anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
So I think people can tell that, and that people want to see real friendships, because you want to see the love and then the drama. If it's just always the drama, that's, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm relatable, because you know, you feel like you're getting played, right?
Right. No, totally. Do Shannon and Tamara still have you blocked on Instagram?
I can't find them. I know. Tell them to unblock me. I would be friends with them. I want to be friends with everyone. Yeah.
Tell
them to unblock me. Put in a good word, would you?
Totally.
No, I mean, actually, I don't actually know. I take it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Tamara did call you. I don't know if you saw, you know, you did an interview where you said that Tamara, I'm just paraphrasing, obviously, that Tamara has to let it go when it came to her wanting to come back to the show. And I think she called you a hypocrite for saying that, because, you know, you should be wanting to empower women. What was your reaction to that?
I don't see how I'm a hypocrite for like standing up for myself, but I wish her the best. I mean, by me saying, let it go, that's actually encouraging her to find fulfillment in her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally.
I think that that's a good thing. I mean, she's still not letting it go. I don't know. I've let it go. I don't think I'm a hypocrite, but I feel like that's an easy, I'm also not perfect. So there's definitely things that I will say that, I don't know, are going to rub people the wrong way.
Totally.
But that just means maybe I'm wrong. That doesn't mean I'm a hypocrite.
Right.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a hypocrite.
Were you surprised that she and Tamara, that Tamara and Vicky were let go?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, when I was going to go back, because I was on it, and then they were, I thought, should have been let go. But they weren't. So then I left. And then the next season they were let go.
Mm. Would you have gone back if they weren't, if Tamara and Vicky were both leaving?
Well, that was what I had told them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, you did, I think you said in a podcast that it was almost worse behind the scenes with some of the ladies on camera than it was on camera.
The thing that I was on was like they didn't even show the drama, because the producer said, no, like you still need to like a housewife, and you can't show so much of them that they can never recover from. Mm. Like, they kind of take the viewer on a ride where they show all of your warts, but then they redeem you. Right. Mm. But what was going on behind the scenes, I felt, was that if the viewer saw, they would never be able to be redeemed. They were so mean. They were just so mean that it was, that like it would just, you could never vote, you could never like cheer someone on that would be so cruel.
What did that do to your self-confidence? Did it bother you at all?
Like, they weren't being mean to me.
Oh, they weren't being mean to you.
They weren't being mean to me, but it just seeing that, it was hard to see. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. It just, there was a lot that wasn't shown that season. Even in the reunion. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, which I think does the show a disservice. Like, you want to show the reality of everyone, so show it. Mm-hmm. But the show, I think it is good in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Do you miss anything about it?
I mean, I'm grateful for the experience of it. And I feel like it's given me such a great platform. I'm actually doing live Bible studies, which is crazy. I'm a housewife and that on Wednesdays hosts Bible studies in my Instagram. So different people can like come read the Bible with me. And it's been like a really cool community. And I mean, I'm writing a Bible study right now and I've written another book. So I feel like it's given me an opportunity that God's really used the platform for, like, hopefully spreading love and goodness. That's why it is hard for me when I do these interviews, because I want to say like all this stuff, but then it's just not for good. Like to Tamara's point, to tear people down or, you know, to say how I feel, it's just for what? So I try to really watch my tongue. I'm just not good at it.
Yeah.
So for that, I guess I'm a hypocrite and I apologize.
I didn't mean to upset you with that. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. I'm like, so not, I promise I'm not upset.
Okay.
I want to try to grow always.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
People's perspectives. Mm-hmm. And you know, I loved the show. It was a great experience. I hope that they can fix OC. Mm-hmm. And so that it can come back strong. There's so many amazing women here that I think are fabulous, just to watch them on their Instagram, that I feel like I kind of threw their name in the hat and I don't know why they didn't get chosen. So hopefully, you know,
hopefully in the future. Totally.
But there's some great others, you know. I don't know. Has OC seen its heyday?
I don't know.
I mean, if they brought back all of the all-stars, what if they brought back to OC, like Gretchen, Heather, and Alexis?
That would be great.
Would it be great? Have their stories be told? Have their stories been told? Or are they in a new enough space that it would be interesting? I would watch.
I would totally watch. Sign me up.
The issue is the new girl. No one likes the new girl for the first 3 or 4 episodes.
Yes.
You kind of are, right?
Yes.
As a viewer, you're like, who's this chick? I don't know that I like her yet. She kind of has to win you over.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if OC, if they did that with 3 or 4, it just would be too much. But if they brought in familiar girls from the past, I feel like Alexis and Gretchen, because they had issues,
mm-hmm.
that they should resolve for us all to see.
Totally.
And Gretchen's a mom and Alexis is without Jim. Mm-hmm. This could be good. I feel like we're on to something.
I feel like you should call Andy right after this.
I vote we put in Alexis and Gretchen. Who would you take out?
God, I don't know. Maybe Kelly.
Oh, really?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know. It's so hard because then, you know, they would probably have some drama as well. And Shannon always has drama with everybody too. So I don't know. Maybe the new girl like from this year. TV.
I don't know what's going on in their lives, but I feel like Shannon and Kelly are good TV.
Yeah.
And then we have Gretchen. Alexis.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4. What do we need? 6?
I like, you said Heather. I think that she would be good if she came back.
Heather and like a Lizzie?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've just made our all-star cast.
Yeah, I feel really good about it.
I feel good about it.
I'll make it hosting appearance.
All right, sounds good. I like it. Well, Lydia, before we wrap up, like I said, I have these housewives secrets, so they're just some fun rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Before we wrap up. So on your season, back when you were on the show, which housewife would get the drunkest?
Oh, Shannon.
All the time?
Yeah.
Is there like a moment that like really sticks out to you where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe how wasted she is?
I mean, not really. We went to Iceland, Vicky and Kelly went out the night, like after we started filming, mm-hmm. and then they like stayed out all night. So I didn't actually see them. But then the next day, allegedly Vicky took something so that she could film, which was why she had the heart trauma and had to go to the hospital. So I guess technically, I mean, you got to give the award to her. Right. She kind of owns it. So I'm going to change my answer because of that one situation to Vicky.
I love it. Who caused the most drama while you were on the show?
I mean, Peggy caused the most drama when I was on the show just because she didn't get along with anybody. But I'd say, I mean, Tamara and Kelly were up there too. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Who would turn it on the most for the cameras?
I mean, this is a hard answer for me. I'm going to say Vicky, but I wouldn't say she turned it on because she was like that when the cameras weren't rolling. Like we were in the airport and she's yelling at people. That's just her personality. Is she yelled at a producer one time so bad, but that's who she is. Like we were not filming, but it was the best scene ever. Like everyone in the whole party was watching her and no one could look away. So mm-hmm. I would say Vicky has like the most outrageous personality.
Was that like the one moment that wasn't caught on camera that you wish fans got to see?
There were a lot of moments, honestly, that, I mean, traveling with Vicky was like the best situation ever. It was one of the funniest moments of my life was trying to catch a plane with her. And I like was laughing so hard. And then everybody knows who she is because she's been on the show for so long. So people kind of are trying to talk to her, but she's very, like, she didn't really want to. She's just herself. You know what I mean? It's exactly who, like, if you saw her, she's that outrageous all the time. So it's just kind of a weird delight to be around because mm-hmm. I'm a little bit kind of quirky in my own way, but she's just on another level. So it was almost inspiring. I don't know.
I love it.
Someone have to go with it, you know?
Totally. Is there one moment on camera that you wish never aired?
I mean, I wasn't a fan of the Charlie Chaplin look. I wished Doug was like, don't go tonight. This is not going to be a good, mm-hmm. like, not they're trapping you, but you're walking into a disaster. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what I signed up for. I can't not go. Like, I got to go. I got to be me, even in this situation. So that was like a very difficult, the whole thing was very difficult, but just the way I looked was so, but yeah, I wish that, you know, didn't exist in the world, yeah. But it's fine.
Is there a moment that you wish you pulled the Bravo, Bravo, Bravo card?
Oh my gosh. So when I was on the show, it was called Camera. Mm-hmm. And so you would say Camera. And so on my first, like, you know how the last episode is a big party mm-hmm. and everyone has to talk about all their dramas of the whole season at that last event. Mm-hmm. So that for me was like a winter wonderland at Vicky's house. And it was, no one like explains to you. It's kind of like when you become a mom, you expect like mm-hmm. the nurse to give you a manual and you go home with the kid. It's the same thing when you sign up for Housewives reality show. Nobody tells you anything. You just go and they kind of think like the less you know, the better. So I'm at this, it's like the biggest filming production because normally you just have three cameras and there's three crews of cameras. So they follow all different girls. But when all the girls are together, there's all those nine cameras and the nine crews. So there's the audio people. Sure. So anyways, it was just very overwhelming and it was a lot of stuff happens off camera and then there's kind of on camera stuff, but you don't want something that someone says off camera to come on to camera. So you just would say camera, camera so that they couldn't use. So if I was talking to you, I'd be like, Christina, camera, I can't believe camera. You said camera that I was a biatch camera, but like, you can't use that now, you know? So I regret, I did that about, I was kind of having like a altercation with someone and I kept doing that. And I just felt like that was dumb.
I love that. That's so interesting. That is so great. Do you feel like, you know, you tell such fun stories about Vicky and, you know, she's such what was like made for reality TV. Do you want to see her come back? And do you feel like she was kind of done a little dirty or do you think that her time was kind of up?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it was really hard for them to let her go, but I'm just, what was her storyline? Like that she would marry Steve?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. Like, cause you do have to bring, you have to have a real connection with the girls that you're filming with. Then you have to show your own personal drama. And then you have to kind of have a drama with the girls. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's kind of threefold. And I would say, you know, Vicky, when you're on that show for so long, it has to be, I mean, you saw that play out with the cancer. Like, she knew she needed a personal drama. She knew she wanted people to like Brooks.
Yep.
So she cultivated. So I don't know. I felt like after that happened, maybe people mistrusted her. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
I think that the great thing about her is that she's so authentic and real. Like, that's what I loved about her. But then to see that she would have manipulated so much to stay on the show, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard as a viewer, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. No, totally, totally. Well, Lydia, thank you so much. This was so great. I really appreciate you taking so much time. It was wonderful speaking with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of Getting Real with the Housewives. But if you want more Housewives news, head on over to usmagazine.com, where we've got you covered.